Very happy to say our scheduled guest at about 12:33 this afternoon, the one and only Sergei Fedorov. Remember, they snuck him out. They stole him from the Russians July 23rd, 1990. Sergei Fedorov slipped past Russia's Iron Curtain and arrived in Detroit at the age of 20 to begin his NHL career. I'm told the first English words he ever learned and spoke was, "Give me the puck," which I would believe to be true, but I'll ask him about that coming up here in just a few minutes. But first, we start off with the king, Nolan Findlay, the editorial page editor for the Detroit News, co-author of The Civility Book, a guide to building bridges across the political divide. That's a must-read book around the world right now. Nolan wrote it along with his friend, Stephen Henderson, and Lynn Goladnar. Nolan, always a pleasure, sir. Thanks for being here. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Paul. I'm just out here working on my tan today.
And I know how important that is for you. Hey, a quick note here. Well, which way do I want to go? So the president said in Iran, if they start shooting people, then we're going to start shooting. I don't know what he's waiting for. I'm not saying he should be doing that, but that's what he said, and there's 544 plus already dead, so we'll see. And the idea that he's going after the Fed chair, Jerome Powell, for going over budget on some real estate, I mean, the pot calling the kettle black. When you announce you're building a ballroom for $200 million, you tear down the beloved East Wing, and then you say the ballroom's going to be $400 million, and we all know it's going to be more than that. What is he doing here?
Well, it's the petty vindictiveness that has marked his administration and distracted from what could have been, what still could be, some very productive work that he should be doing. I mean, if you're going to lock up everybody who went over budget in Washington, you could just
shut the
place down and move it to some federal prison somewhere, because that's an everyday occurrence there. So it is what it is. It's as I said, vindictive. It's roiling the markets a little bit today, and a president should never do that. I don't know. I mean, he's got a beef with Jerome Powell, but there's a process here, and he does not like to follow the established processes. I mean, there'll be a time when he gets to replace Jerome Powell, but, you know, he's trying to push that forward with these ridiculous attacks.
I'm a little confused. I support this president. I've supported most of the presidents, but I support him. I don't like the way he does certain things. For example, I don't understand. Here's a president who has, I think, at this point still, gotten kicked out fewer illegal immigrants than, say, Barack Obama did. But Barack Obama did it in a way that he didn't get everyone being against him. So I don't know who decided to make the ICE people look like they were the firstborn child of the Central Park Rangers from Elf and a Star Wars stormtrooper, but it's not working.
No, it's not working. And, you know, it's doing economic damage. I mean, 40 to whether we like it or not, 40 to 50% of the farm workers in this country don't have legal status. And so this roundup, this, the fear he's instilled into, you know, that population led to crops rotting in the fields last fall. And it's leading to today's higher food prices. We got a problem. I'm with everyone else that if you came here illegally, you need to be dealt with. But that doesn't mean that people who are willing to work and do jobs that are essential in this country should just be booted out. There should be a process for legalizing them, for providing them some sort of work visas or temporary status or a path to green cards or whatever. But he's damaged the economy and he's hurt American households with this, all out effort to round up and get rid of illegal immigrants without regard to their contributions. And I don't think it's doing America any good at all.
I think they do things and say things they think will make things better, and it only hurts them. They said, well, don't you understand? We're kicking out murderers and rapists and whatever. And then the next thing you know, they kicked out a teacher who hasn't done anything wrong for 25 years. They shouldn't have said that. They should have said, we're picking up people who shouldn't be here. We're picking up people who broke the law just by sneaking into this country. You don't have to make it sound even better by saying, well, they're rapists and murderers. They set themselves up for failure.
And you don't have to dehumanize people. When you use the sort of language he's used to describe these people, it leads to the situation you had in Minneapolis last week, where you have ICE agents treating these the people they're rounding up, the people they're picking up, treated them as if they're a mortal enemy of the United States.
Well, look, I'm not. I've said I'm holding back. I only speak of the things that I see that I know. A, she shouldn't have been blocking the road, and she was doing that on purpose. B, when the police say, get out of the car, you get out of the car. And C, you do not try to drive away from police who've given you a direct order. And so those are the things I know for a fact. The rest of it, I cannot believe people on both sides are responsible for inflaming this by saying things they could not possibly know would be true or not true. It's just crazy the way this exploded among what should have been responsible of adults on both sides in leadership positions. The easy answer was, this is a horrible tragedy that we hope we get to the bottom of, but I'm not going to weigh in on it until I see the facts.
Let the law enforcement process,
correct,
the legal process unfold here. But, you know, these folks who have been organized and are being paid to confront ICE, they're not doing the country any good either. In fact, they're dividing the country. They're pushing us toward, you know, in confrontations that are unnecessary. These federal agents have been given a job, and they have a right to do that job. I wish they were doing it more judiciously, and I don't think they should be demonizing the people they're dealing with. But, you know, the folks like the woman who was shot and her wife out there trying to interfere, and that's not helping. I mean, that's causing a lot of damage,
as we have seen. And I strongly suggest, just as I told my children as they were growing up, you don't do that when you're out and about. You hand your hands up and you say, yes, sir, no, ma'am, whatever it is you say. And especially, I mean, this is not down a dark alley. This was being viewed by all kinds of people. So you didn't have to worry. You're not going to get out of the car with your hands up and get shot. Not going to happen.
No, but Paul, I would encourage you to watch Chris Rock's video on how not to get your blank kicked by the police. It's hilarious.
Who is that?
Chris Rock, the comedian.
Oh, okay.
I'll look that up.
I'll look for it. How not to get your blank kicked by the police. I can only imagine. Hey, you have fond memories of Sergei Fedorov?
Yeah, you know, not a big hockey fan, even though I got two grandchildren playing it now, I'm learning to be. But, man, that was a magnificent era for Detroit sports and the excitement that created in town that he and his Russian compatriots brought to this city. I don't think we've seen anything like it since.
I'm pretty sure we haven't, and I'm very excited that thanks to my friend Dan Cable and them asking me for some advice on something, we put this all together, and we have scheduled coming up next the world-famous, and I do mean world-famous, Hockey Hall of Famer, Red Wings great, Sergei Fedorov, up next. Thank you so much, Nolan. Thanks for listening.
Paul, I'll be listening. Good job.
We appreciate it. We'll continue here. Paul W. Smith, In Focus on WJR.